We're kickstarting this third series off with a mini history lesson. I'm going to take you back to the time when WordPress burst onto the web scene and look at why it remains so successful. This is the Help My Website Sucks podcast, your bite-sized guide to web design. I'm Amy Gumbrell, a WordPress web designer who spent years helping businesses make sense of their websites. In this final series, I'm focusing entirely on WordPress, sharing features, tools, and ways of working that many people don't even realize exist or didn't know were an option for their WordPress website. So why am I bothering with this? I've done an episode called Why WordPress in the first series, and you'd think I'd said everything there was to say about WordPress back then, but you'd be wrong. I love WordPress. I think that by starting here, we're setting ourselves up for a better understanding of the software that powers our websites, or at least those that use WordPress. In turn, this will lead to us using it better. So sit back and enjoy whilst we meander down WordPress memory lane. The origin story. The late 90s saw the beginning of blogging, mainly by those involved in web development. And out of that, a bloke from Corsica decided he wanted to build his own blogging platform called B2. Interesting fact alert! The B relates to blog, but apparently the 2 is a nod to Song 2, a massive hit by the awesome British band Blur. Woohoo! And a favourite of Michelle V. So Michelle, the Corsican, he lost interest in it, and in stepped Matt Mullenweg, an American developer, and Mike Little, a British developer. And they decided to fork the B2 code to create what we now know as WordPress. There is, of course, quite a lot more to that story, but that is just the nuts and bolts of it to give you an idea. Oh, and when you fork code, you duplicate it. So both the person with the original code and the forker end up with the same code that are independent of each other. Forking awesome! So why did it do so well? WordPress got itself all dressed up with accessories galore and razzle-dazzled the world of web design in the mid-2000s. So around 2004-2005, it introduced plugins. Now these are add-ons that let you expand what your website can do without ever touching the WordPress core code. In 2005, so a little bit later on, WordPress became an open source platform, meaning that everyone can see the code, everyone can use it, and they can change it. Hello, customization. It also opened the door for developers all over the world to contribute, and that's fueled innovation and built a huge, passionate community. So if we fast forward now to 2012, London may have been hosting the Olympics, but for WordPress users, the introduction of themes was the real gold medal moment. Up until that point, you had to code your way to a better looking website. But with themes, you can now design and style WordPress with a few clicks of the mouse. Interesting fact alert! Have you ever noticed that when you update WordPress, the new version is named after a jazz musician? I bet you haven't. That tradition started because the early WordPress developers were huge jazz fans, and the naming convention stuck. So, just like jazz, WordPress has kept evolving. From a simple blogging tool to a full-blown content management system, or a CMS, which powers millions of sites worldwide. Let's clear up this frequently asked question. Why are there two versions of WordPress out there, .com versus .org? So this is easy. WordPress.com uses the same WordPress code for their website as WordPress.org, but it's a hosted service. So hosted services are platforms like Wix or Squarespace. So you sign up, they handle everything for you. The hosting, the maintenance, the backups, the updates, and it's run by a company called Automattic, which was founded by the WordPress co-creator, Matt Mullenweg. And they control most of what you can and can't do with your website. Now, WordPress.org is the DIY version. You download the WordPress software and run it yourself. You find your own hosting provider, your own domain name, and you're responsible for everything behind the scenes. Scary stuff for some folk, for it gives you total control and complete freedom to customize. So we're ultimately talking convenience versus control. But whether you go for .com or .org, I work with .org, everybody. What's really impressive is how far WordPress itself has come. It's evolved since its humble beginnings as a blogging platform, and although it still offers a cracking setup if you want to blog, it is a really fantastic CMS platform. A content management system is basically a tool that lets you build and manage a website without needing to code everything from scratch. It's a game changer. So WordPress sites are everywhere, from small businesses and freelancers right up to major players like Sony Music and The New Yorker. I've added a link in the show notes to them because you can go to their websites and see them using WordPress. You can actually build just about anything you like with WordPress, which is fantastic. So you can have online stores, news and magazine stores, online courses, membership websites, event management, directories and portfolio. And so while knowing the history of WordPress might not be top of everyone's web design to-do list, it's actually a great foundation. Understanding where it came from helps you get a better feel for the tool you're working with today. Whether you're building your very first website or managing something much bigger, WordPress continues to prove just how flexible, powerful, and creative a platform it really is. And there we have it. We've come to the end of another episode of Help My Website Sucks. Did you find it useful? I hope so. I'd be so grateful if you'd consider leaving me a review. Have you got your own website woes and need help? Get in touch via my website, twocowsweb.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, bye-bye.